break them out real bad.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, two in the books, one to go. Plenty more of The Big Show. Final hour of The Usual Suspects right here on ESPN 97.5. As we continue to move forward, moving and shaking, shaking to moving, you had someone that had a Texans-related question, Barry.
Yep. Real quick, I want to get through the rest of these texts. Somebody said, this is J-Mac, 5'10", 275, whoever drafts me is getting a Michael Jordan of weight loss.
Okay. We'll confidence see about is that. A good thing.
So we don't need to send our length and girth with our vitals? No, I don't want that. Not
but
at
Barry
all.
Will tell you, as you lose, you gain.
That's right, because somebody said, wait, this is because they say for every 30 pounds you lose, you get an inch back, right? No, that's not why we're doing it. That's just the bonus.
That's right.
That's just
you
the
said
extra.
Bonus, right?
Yeah.
Okay,
bones.
Watch out. What you did there?
Clarence said, I had Astros Day at my job since there are official sponsors for the Astros, and I met AJ Hinch. That was Clarence.
Good Our
for
Clarence?
You.
Or,
yeah, I'm okay. guessing. And Dakota Jones said, sorry, you must have missed my previous text. I want to help out with motivating and training. So I don't know how we'll figure that out, Dakota. But yeah, we appreciate that. I've got you down as possibly someone that will motivate our listeners and help or whatever.
Any
I don't know
help.
If there are fees involved.
Right.
Or
we got to figure it out. But yep. if you're out there and you're associated with a company that has something to do with eating properly, diet, training, gym, fitness, anything that can help in the process that we can at least use as consideration as we're trying to line this whole thing up, contact us.
Joel.
Hit us up on Twitter.
Yeah, do that.
Hit us up on Twitter or text.
Yeah, and then call, too. So stop texting. You guys can start just, if you want to call and give your vitals to the intern to get entered in for January, 713-780-3776. Name, height, weight, and then email address and phone number. The interns will take your info down and get you in because I can't keep up with the text, so. We're probably,
I mean, intern Jerry's on standby. Like I said,
yeah.
he'll know what to ask you, what information to ask. It'll basically be effortless. All you have to do is call the numbers.
Yeah, because I think we're at 150 right now, so it's getting out of hand.
150 people?
Yeah, it's getting crazy.
Dude, that's awesome.
Yeah, that's cool. Okay, here was the question before the break that Nathan wanted to know. He said, do you guys think Bill O'Brien will stick with Savage the rest of the season, and what will cause O'Brien to pull him in the first place? Love the show. Keep up the awesome work.
Well, I can answer the last part first. Turnovers.
I swear to you, when you listen to his post game, not post game, but his press conference from Monday when he said Tom Savage is our starter going into the game this weekend. Mm-hmm. Going into the game was the key phrase in that. I don't know if Savage doesn't go out and light the world on fire in a good way. Not dumpster fire, but, you know, like lighting up the scoreboard, that he doesn't get pulled by halftime. And I'm with you. One or two interceptions at the wrong moment of the game, and he's gone. So I don't think it'll take much to pull him and put in T.J. Yates, because at this point, what do you have to lose? I said 2 weeks ago, Pro Football Focus graded him as the worst quarterback to play in the NFL in Week 9.
I also told you yesterday,
what do you have to lose?
That he's your starter, and T.J. Yates last week was getting 30 to 35 percent of the reps with the first team guys, which means it's already on their minds and they're prepping him like he's going to get some time. So no, I don't think Savage is going to finish the year as the starting quarterback of this team without sharing some time with T.J. Yates, if not others. And I think that turnovers is exactly how he's going to get benched. I don't think it'll take more than one if it's a quick one coming up against Arizona at home where the fans are going to boo and it's going to be very noticeable and it's going to be embarrassing. I think the trigger will be quicker. I think because of the guy coming in will be at home where there will be it'll be easier and it'll be full of a little bit more support, hopefully. I think you could see it happen as early as this week, and I think, like we both said, I think turnovers will be the key. But I think even if he does, like you said, if he gets off to a slow start and the offense isn't moving, I can see them making a move quickly.
I'm with you. I don't think it takes a full game at all. I think it's right back where the Texans were, a year or two ago, where it's basically, hey, let's try quarterback A, and if this doesn't work, let's go to quarterback B, and if this doesn't work, let's go to quarterback C. It's back to the option for Bill O'Brien in terms of who he should play. Because he just doesn't have any type of mediocre quarterback play right now, or at least we haven't seen it. So, yeah, I don't think it takes a full game. I don't think it takes a full game if Savage continues to play the way he has been.
I tell you what, first red zone INT, he's gone.
Gone.
Because that you just can't have. Yeah, yep. That you just can't have. Now, there might be an interception here or there that's not his fault. Maybe he got hit when he's thrown or they got tipped up in the air and intercepted. Those you can kind of forgive. But the problem with Savage, if you've watched him the last couple of games, is he always is throwing into triple and quadruple coverage.
Those are ones where those are Broxers. Those are Brock Osweiler. You just go, that's clearly on you.
You can't keep throwing into coverage over and over again, and then they're going to get picked off in that. So if it's, if he hits an open receiver and it goes off his hands and into the hands of a defender or something, that's forgivable. But if you throw into a crowd of four people and it gets deflected around and intercepted, it's still on you for a bad decision. So I think it'll be obvious when he gets pulled.
Well, and the other thing is, when you know that there were four turnovers, but there could have been six, including another pick six, because of the penalties that were called back.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's when you go, hey, we're not just dodging bullets now. We're digging holes, and they could have been the Grand Canyon. We can't do that week to week.
And I think Tom Savage knows that. He knows that they're considering the plays where the protection wasn't there and it absolutely failed, and he had a second to throw the ball away. It's like you mentioned, Barry, when he throws the ball in triple coverage, or like what Joel mentioned when Bill O'Brien came out of the game and did that interview about the red zone interception. It's those type of mistakes that are going to get him off the field very quickly.
Oh, yeah.
It's not when the protection fails.
When you're playing a good team like the Rams, because most everybody expected for them to get dusted last week. But if you're taking on the Blaine Gabbert-led Arizona Cardinals, or if Drew Stanton somehow plays, and you don't at least stay in the ball game, let alone win it, it is going to get really, really ugly. If you thought it was bad this week, next week could be a whole hell of a lot worse if it is another crap show and it's against that team led by those two quarterbacks.
Somebody just texted and said, doesn't matter who was the QB, Watson wasn't getting this team to 9-7.
I disagree.
Don't be so sure about that. I think you're selling short. I mean, you got to remember, he had started five games, and one of those was against the Patriots where he went toe-to-toe, and the defense let him down on the last drive of the game. The Seahawks, the same thing, went toe-to-toe with Russell Wilson, and the defense let him down on the last drive of the game. So don't sell yourself short, because he was able to go toe-to-toe with two of the better quarterbacks in this league, and it wasn't his fault that the secondary failed him in both of those. So I think that, I would have to pull up the schedule again because I don't have it memorized. But with Deshaun Watson versus without, when you consider what they've done, do they beat the Colts? Probably. Do they beat the Rams? I think they could, but even if they don't, it's a slugfest. It's not 33-7. It might be 33-30. Could they beat the Cardinals? Absolutely. They could beat the Ravens. You might be able to beat the Titans. They did it once already. Then you have the Niners. They probably win that game. The Jags, maybe, maybe not. Steelers, probably not. And then at the Colts, I think they could win that game. Don't sell themselves short. Don't sell him short on what he would have been able to do, especially if you got decent play from the secondary down the stretch.
We've already covered a lot of this, so I'm not going to go backtrack, but I do agree with you. And the other thing I would say is, when you and I did this and looked at the schedule, think about how much better he made the offensive line look, period, amongst everything else. Think about how much better a guy that supposedly could not catch in Will Fuller looked when you had a quarterback that was throwing it the way he was throwing it. And most importantly, offensively, think about what he did to make your great receiver look great again. All those things said, and you and I having dissected that schedule with him at the quarterback position, and look at the game that they let get away in Seattle, I'm going to tell you something right now. There's no reason to believe that he wouldn't have had them at 9-7, if not better, because that's what that guy brought to the table.
I mean, you're getting Cushing back at some point, right? Who knows how well he'll play, but that's going to be a little bit of a boost. Maybe you get, remember, it's a young front seven. I went through the ages. The most experienced guy on that front seven was Clowney with 4 years of NFL experience. So it's also all of a sudden a young front seven because of injury. Now, you did add Houston, which gave you some more experience.
He's been really good.
And he's been playing well. So, I think this team could have hung in there. But with a guy as inept as Tom Savage at quarterback, your defense almost have to be Chicago Bears-like. In other words, your defense and special teams is going to have to score more than your offense, and that's just not happening. So, who knows? Could have been. What could have been? I mean, let me ask you this. Would it have mattered in the playoffs? To me, I say no. They would have been bounced first round.
It depends on the matchup.
But
I think you play a team like in years past, it was Cincinnati. If you played Cincinnati in the first round, I think you could get by with a team that's a little lesser. I don't think they're ready for prime time yet, but do I think he would have kept you in the game more so than a Brock Osweiler and given you a chance to pull an upset? Yeah, maybe not against the Patriots, but I think even against the Patriots, he'd proved he can move the football. He can score points. So, you know, and again, that gives you even more hope for the future because you know you're that much closer than you were before you got a quarterback.
Somebody said outside of – oh, where the hell did it go? I'm wrong tab. Outside of offensive line, what will be the level of urgency to ramp up the secondary? High.
We said that.
Very high. I would go O-line, secondary, and then linebacker.
Yep, and that's what we said think yesterday. That
would, in fact, if you want, what we can do is I can pull up the Pro Football Focus grades for the defense, and you can, I can tell you exactly. We can do that on the other side. You can kind of hear how this defense grades out. Not as good as you might think.
Well, and Jonathan Joseph consider, was grading out, as you had pointed out previously, pretty high.
Playing
until,
very well.
Until the Rams game,
yeah,
when he looked extremely slow and out of place.
Yeah, he was playing well until the last couple weeks, for sure.
So, yeah, we can do that. We got power rankings for week 11 of the NFL we can get to, so you can figure out
Texans
where your
number
favorite
one.
Team ranks. No.
Oh.
But I can tell you who the Cowboys are playing might be. So we've got that to look forward to. And if there's something on your mind, get it to us. As we'll try and get to it as part of the show. Why don't you just call in, 713-780-3776. We'll take your call. We'll talk about what you want to talk about. Otherwise, you can text us on that same line, the HRNP listener line, or you can hit us on Twitter, at the producer Nick, at Pac-Man Joel with a K, at Barry is funny. Back with a whole lot more Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. I assume you knew... This is the Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, the show has just flown by. Barry and I were talking about it in the break, but that's all because of you guys, and participation is key. You guys have been fantastic, and hopefully we can be fantastic for you. If you missed any of the show, go back and listen to the podcast, but realize that we are trying to set something up special for the start of the year and New Year's resolutions. We're going to try and get some of you guys that need a little extra motivation to try and get going and lose some weight in the new year, the help that you need. We're going to try and do it one way or another with listeners helping listeners. We'll have some motivation, some prizes, and hopefully a whole lot more details as we get closer to that date. But it's a lot of you already signing up. I think the number's now in the hundreds, which is great.
Yeah, I got to go look. Yeah, give me a second. I'll get you the updated number, but yeah, it's getting up there, and I'm sure, and this doesn't include everybody that's called the intern, so it's going to be pretty fun. Yeah, we're up to 106 here in my folder, and that's not accurate, so I'm thinking we're close probably to at least 125, maybe. We'll probably end up at about 150, like I said.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Okay, so here's your Pro Football Focus grades for the Texans defensively. The front seven is pretty good. This is just the base defense. Actually, they don't have the third linebacker in here, but Clowney grades out at an 83.2. Would you think that that is the highest of the front seven?
I would.
DJ Reader at 84.3.
Wow.
Yeah. Surprised me as well.
Lineman.
I know he's been playing well, but that surprised me a bit. Watkins grade in at 73.9. Houston at 75.8. Cunningham at 80.1, which is a really good grade, and McKinney at 72.4. So your interior grades out pretty well. Your secondary, your safeties actually grade out pretty decently. Remember we said Gilchrist had the one bad week, but I said he had been playing pretty decent. He grades out at a 77.8. That's not that
bad,
really. No. And Howell grades out at 75.7. Joseph, 81.6.
That's including last week?
This is cumulative, yeah, but that includes last week. Kareem Jackson grades out at a 42.3.
Ugh.
And your man Johnson grades out at 38.4, by far the worst grade, not just on the defense. Oh, I'm sorry. The second worst on the team, including that offensive line. Speaking of, you want to hear those?
Sure.
I'm going to start with the highest.
Xavier Suafilo.
No, I'm going to start.
Oh, okay, you're saying with the highest.
I will start with the highest with Martin at 55.8. Is the highest grade on the Texans' offensive line.
Him?
Yeah, a little bit. I would
I
have
think
him
Nick
a little
Martin's
bit.
Pretty solid.
Yeah. Second is Chris Clark at 39. 39.6 is the second highest grade on the Texas offensive line. Third is Allen at 39.2, followed by Suofilo at 36. He's not even the worst. Giacomini grades out as the worst at 35.4.
Last weekend, yes. And he was not happy about it.
Yeah, so there's your grades across. The highest is a 55, all terrible. Watkins grades in at 84, if you're curious. And your boy, Tomothy Savage, 51.5 for your QB.
Mm-mm. My boy. See, everybody's my boy.
Well, you know, that's how they roll. So, yeah, just to round it out, Miller at 79.4, Fuller at 76.8, Fedorow at 75.9, and Andre Ellington, who I think has been playing better than he gets credit for, still only grades out at a 48.9. So, not great. Not great across the board. And the way they rank these is, you know, if you're in the eight, if you're in the 90s or above, you're elite. 80s to 90s is high quality, and then, you know, 70s to 80s above average. Most of the Texans offensive line and Savage graded at poor.
You know what the whole thing ranks out to me as?
What?
You're gonna have the best darn third round draft picks in the draft coming up.
It's shaping up to be that way, isn't it? Yeah. And by the way, somebody asked us about what do you do if you replace O'Brien? I mean, who would be? We went through a whole list yesterday.
Yeah.
I suggest, for the sake of repeating the show that we did yesterday, you can just hop on Podcast Arena and listen to some of the names we throw out. And I would like to retract my Marvin Lewis statement.
Statement on your part.
I started looking at his wins, and he's up there in wins. He's at 121. And that's pretty decent. I think that's like top 25.
He's never won a playoff game,
that's
right?
Top 25, top 30 in wins all time.
Yeah.
The problem is his winning percentage is pretty terrible. It's like 52%.
Plus, he's never won a playoff game.
And I didn't realize that.
Plus, he lost the locker room. Plus, he lets guys get away with whatever.
I mean, he had a 12-win season. You know? There was a time when they were winning 10, 11, and 12 each year. So, I mean, a lot of teams lose playoff games.
Every year?
Yeah. Hi, Texans.
Well, but they've won. They beat the Bengals. They beat Marvin Lewis two years in a row.
All right, you got me there. Hey! It's a bad deal. It's a bad call on my part. I can admit that.
Okay. NFL power rankings are out for week 11. No surprise. Number one, Philadelphia Eagles. Two, Patriots. Three is a surprise to everybody but Clarence. The New Orleans Saints.
Third?
Are third.
Wow.
Ahead of the Steelers. Ahead of the Chiefs, which round out your top five. That surprises me a bit. Six, the Vikings. Seven, the Rams. Eight, the Seahawks. Nine,
Texans.
The Jacksonville Jaguars.
I mean.
And 10, Carolina. 11, Atlanta. Your Houston Texans. Packers have moved up to 17, by the way, because they beat the Bears. So they're now ahead of your Houston Texans.
Were last week, too.
21.
Texans?
Yeah.
They were 22, I think, last week.
They've averaged 9 points. This is the write-up on this.
How the hell do you move up after that week?
They're projected to go to win for the season 6.5 games. They have averaged,
I'll take the under.
Yeah. They've averaged 9.3 points per game when Tom Savage has started versus 34.7 when Watson has started. With Watson out, it could be a tall task for the Texans to double their current win total of 3. The only solace?
They've scored 21 points in the last two games with Watson.
They're ahead of the Broncos and Brock Osweiler by 1.
Oh, my gosh. How bad would that be if they weren't, though?
Oh, it'd be bad.
You're talking about adding insult to injury. If the Texans were ranked behind the Broncos and their starting quarterback of Brock Osweiler,
bottom three.
Ugh.
Cleveland dead last. Niners at 31 and Giants at 30. Niners just beat the Giants. Why wouldn't the Niners be ahead of them?
Probably comes down to the fact that
what schedule?
I don't know. No, because it's power rankings. It has nothing to do with schedule. It has to do with. I mean, that's a good question. Are they still giving some credence to Eli over Beathard?
They said projected wins for the year. The Giants still rank out at 4 and the Niners at 2.4.
Oh, well, then maybe that's it.
So maybe that's – otherwise, I can't figure it out because head-to-head, they beat them.
I love that ESPN put, Week 11 power rankings, Texans rise. How much did they go up? One spot?
I think one. Yeah.
That's terrible.
It really is.
They're just trying to get you to click on it.
It really is bad in terms of, you know, if you're a Texans fan, to have to endure all this for the excitement that you had the minute that Watson took over and now have to endure this the rest of the season.
Yeah.
It sucks.
It's sad.
Yeah.
I think you can relate, though.
I can. And you know what? And let me tell you something. The Packers beat the Bears. I was shocked. I was, and then what's worse is, and it's worse than doing what the Texans fans have to do, is now you get a little glimmer of hope and you start looking at, okay, you're only two back. You still got to play those two teams. And you can just hang on till Rodgers gets back. And then they're just going to crush your dreams again next week against, like, the Ravens.
Yes.
It sucks.
They're not beating the Ravens.
We'll see. I can
really
be hopeful. I mean, I don't believe in the quarterback, but I can find a way, hopefully, to win the game.
You might be wasting your energy, but you absolutely can be hopeful. That's fine.
Yeah.
So, OU Mike said, who would have thought after that dingus Mr. Irrigation's call that the show would level out?
It didn't just level out. Decent. It excelled.
That's decent.
OU Mike, where are your vitals?
Observation. Yeah, OU Mike, what are your vitals there, Chubb Rock?
Yeah, minus the pockets full of overalls. What are you weighing in these days?
Oh, you think he's an overalls guy? You think OU Mike's an
overalls guy? Oh, he's a coveralls guy. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah. Okay, what's the difference between overalls and coveralls?
I just think...
Because I said overalls and you said coveralls. I don't know if you were correcting me or if there's a difference.
No, I think I'm agreeing with you. But, I mean, look, I'm not a little bit country and a little bit rock and roll. I can't really answer that. I know they've been called
Dolly Parton all of a sudden? Or was that Dolly?
Donnie and Marie.
Oh, Donnie and Marie. See, yeah, I have no idea. What the hell?
Okay. Viggy, we see you. We'll get to you coming out of the break as we continue to roll on, talking a little football, got a little NFL, got a little baseball news, too. When is free? We had to look that up, when free agency actually starts, because there are teams pursuing players already.
Yeah. By the way, it was Bud Black.
Bud Black. Torrey Lovello.
Yep, Torrey Lovello and Dave Roberts.
And Dave Roberts.
And I think Bud Black should win that. And then the American League was Terry Francona, A.J. Hinch, and Paul Molitor. And I think Molitor should win.
I think Molitor, but I'll disagree with you in the National League. Okay. And I'll say Lovello will win.
Yeah. I wouldn't be upset if Lovello wins. I mean, that makes sense.
Yeah.
But, I don't know, being able to win in Colorado is something special.
That's true. Definitely.
Especially when you consider how he's turned around that pitching staff.
Yeah. And you can't argue with Dave Roberts either because of the fact that the Dodgers won the best record in baseball.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we'll get to Biggie out after we get back from the break. But if you guys want to join the show, 713-780-3776. Call us, text us, hit us on Twitter. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back for the final half hour of the big show before we turn it over to Fred, AJ Jong, and the Blitz, as we have had a spirited and fun show. It started out a little weird, but continued to gain steam, and I feel like we're doing things, we're going to do things, and we're getting things done around here, which is always a good thing.
Yeah, what he said.
Are you committing the mortal sin of this studio again?
I am.
Are those AJ's headphones that you're wearing right now?
They are.
What'd you say, Nick?
AJ's headphones.
Barry's wearing AJ's headphones right now?
Guys.
All right, well, we won't tell nobody. He's not going to be here for another 30 minutes,
right? Hey, he gave me permission, actually.
You said that the last time, and he didn't, and he blew a gasket.
No, I went out there, and I said, hey, do you guys have any headphones I can use? Mine died, and he was sitting out there. He goes, you can use my headphones.
And Make sure you leave a little ear crust in those when you get down.
I was moved, because I know that means a lot to him.
Oh, boy.
All right, so, yeah.
Fantastic.
Back in the saddle, boys. Back in the saddle.
All right. Biggie wants to get in here and talk about the Texans. That's par for the course. Biggie, what's up?
Overalls are the redneck variety worn by farmers. Coveralls are if you work in a plant and they cover everything. They're long sleeves.
Ah, aha. So they like the zip up on the front, and Donna Rogers said they have a
Donna
collar
Rogers
on them.
Says, it's almost like a jumpsuit.
Bingo.
Okay. Bingo. All right.
Now, Bill O'Brien wears overalls because he's as dumb as a box of rocks. The only person that can make that guy look smart is Deshaun Watson. And I just get sick to my stomach every time I hear about y'all talking about the guys keeping him. That guy should be out of town. I mailed in my season tickets because he's so horrible.
Really? So you just gave up on him like that, huh?
3 years ago, man. Come on. The guy is supposed to be a quarterback guru, and he can't spot the talent. He doesn't know NFL talent. Do you know the Texans have the worst offensive staff in the league. They have the least amount of NFL experience of anybody in the league. So how can you quantify and qualify NFL talent if you don't have NFL coaches?
Well, Viggy, I'm not gonna make excuses for him, because I certainly don't think he's done a fantastic job. And, you know, it's hard to figure out who's responsible for this carousel of quarterbacks. Everybody's not taking their fair share of the blame for what's gone on the last couple of years. But you can't blame Bill O'Brien for a crappy offensive line. That's the fact that they don't have the right personnel. That's squarely on the shoulders of the man responsible for getting in players, and that's Rick Smith.
And O'Brien has been very, very open this year about the fact that he has nothing to do with personnel decisions, probably in part for that very reason, so that he doesn't get the blame.
I would claim I had nothing to do with it either. All I'm saying is he hires his offensive staff. He has input on the scouts. He's the one that said Tom Savage to start the season was better than Deshaun Watson.
Yep.
Biggie. My question to you is, if you want to get rid of Bill O'Brien, do you get rid of Rick Smith too?
Why not?
Well, why would be the question instead of why not? But I absolutely think he needs to go as well. If you're going to start over, you need to start from scratch.
Let's just clean house, yep, man, and get that cat from New England, Josh. Okay.
McDaniels, yeah.
Josh McDaniels,
and let's go. Let's start the Deshaun Watson era without two big anchors around our neck named Rick Smith and Bill O'Brien.
So, Viggy, you're a season ticket holder, or you were? Not anymore, right?
3 years ago, I mailed him in when they got Bill O'Brien.
Okay. This is a recurring thing. Appreciate the call, Viggy, because I also, Jose Olvera, he'll tweet to me on occasion and just talk about the show or whatever. He said he's been a season ticket holder for 10 years, and he's ready to give him up because he's tired of Bill O'Brien. So you and I can sit here and defend or not defend or do whatever, but at the end of the day, what really matters is the people that are buying season tickets. If they're starting to say, I'm done and I'm giving up my tickets because I don't want to watch this crap anymore, that's when I think you'll see, you know, I mean, there's always going to be a waiting list, but Sunday, days like Sunday where people don't show up because there's no hope to show up, that says a lot more about where the fans are.
Or if you need motivation in Andre Johnson Day to go to the game because you've already given up on the year, you know, that says something. I think his arrogance in press conferences that we've talked about over and over again is one thing when you're winning, you know? But when you're losing and you're still being like that, that's not sitting well with people. And I think that, you know, the point I made yesterday that I'll stick to, too, is I think subliminally he's sending messages already. It might be a mutual parting of the ways because I don't think he really wants to be here anymore. I think it's enticing to think about Deshaun Watson, but I think that everything else, when you weigh it against each other, the pros and the cons, I'm beginning to feel more and more like, and you can see just by his facial expressions and his negativity and just what the Chronicle did today with all of the everything's on me and I haven't done a good job this year, that's not exactly a ringing endorsement from you to you to say that I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing as head coach of this team. I think it might be mutual at the end of the
day. I will say this, though. I was listening to another radio provider.
What?
Yeah, and it was the Bill O'Brien show, so I'm not going to tell you which station it is.
But we can figure it out.
Yeah, but he's basically saying he regretted a lot of the comments. You know what I mean? Like, almost to the point where it sounded like he knew he was being emotional at the podium.
Too late for that.
Well, yeah, for sure. For sure it's way too late. I mean, he shouldn't have said it, period, regardless of how emotional he was. But I didn't think that, because when you were telling me, because this is the second time you've mentioned, you know, you don't think that he wants to be here.
I don't.
Generally, when you don't want to be there, like, you don't regret anything that you say.
Yeah, you know what I mean? I said it and I meant it. I don't give a damn.
Cut me.
Yeah.
Like, I'll get a job somewhere else. You know what I mean? But with Deshaun Watson, it's just so hard. And I think, Barry, you mentioned that before. It's just, it's almost like new life. There's a reason to stay now. It's like almost like a fresh beginning, but
yeah.
Yeah.
Cody Armstrong said, I would trade Tyrod for any quarterback on the Texans roster right now. Deal.
Yeah, go ahead.
I mean, no hesitation.
Talk about a guy that could fill in, doing exactly what you need done.
I would swap you Tom Savage for Tyrod Taylor in a heartbeat. Really would. Julian Rodriguez said, it won't matter, guys. 30,000 person wait list. The city is scared of losing their football team again. They'll like I said, there'll be tickets sold, but there won't be butts and seats, which also affects the bottom line because that's concessions, that's parking, that's memorabilia, all that. By not going to the game, even if the tickets sell out and there is a waiting list, you can still make a dent in the owner's pocket.
I can't speak for like the first 6, 7, 8 years of the franchise, but that last week, the first home game after the Watson injury, that had to have been the quietest parking lot, quietest stadium, least amount of traffic that I've ever seen since covering the Texans. For what,
like I said,
years.
The only reason why you're going to have close to a full house this weekend is because of Andre Johnson. Because there's so many loyal fans that want to show their love for the greatest player to ever put on a uniform down on Kirby. But other than that, that's the motivation you have? That's not good.
Yep.
And like I said, I mean, when you look at the comments that he's made, Nick, and we covered these, but when you talk about the Dwayne Brown situation, and he made sure to make sure and point out he has nothing to do with personnel. That's something in the past he would just bite through his tongue. He would not say a word. When all the quarterbacks came through, it was a mutual thing. All of a sudden, he's outspoken saying, hey, that ain't me. When McNair made his dumb comments, hey, I ride with my players. I'm 150% behind my players. I'm here for my players. That tells you he's not exactly there for the organization. So I stick by what I said. I really believe that I think the entire relationship has worn out.
Well, I think you kind of have to say that, though, don't you?
I don't think so.
I mean, to a certain degree, you do because you run the risk. You've already – the owner lost the locker room. If the head coach does as well, then it's just chaos and turmoil. So he has to almost say, look, guys, don't punish me for what Bob McNair said. We're two different people. My job is to coach you and try to win football games.
I understand
games.
That,
don't lose
but you can come out and say, look, I know Bob McNair as a person. I know how he thinks. I know his mentality. I don't think he's like that. And you could come to the defense of your owner still.
I don't think that would do any good. So that's the point. So Ryan wants to know, what are the odds that are the Eagles legit Super Bowl contenders? And what do you think could hold them back? I mean, injuries, number one. Look what it's done to some other teams. But yeah, I think they're legit. I mean, other than the Patriots, I don't know that I would pick anyone else ahead of them right now. Maybe the Steelers. I mean, the Steelers were my pick going into the season, so I'm going to stick with them. But yeah, I think the Eagles are, if you're picking teams, like, they're top three.
If you're picking right now, they're the head and shoulders favorite to win the NFC. They're the best team in the NFC without a doubt. But now keep in mind, the next 4 weeks are going to be critical to how this whole thing shakes out, because there's a lot of big matchups still to be seen. Cowboys have to play the Eagles twice. The Rams are in the mix. There's a lot of teams that still have to play the Rams and Seattle. It's going to be interesting how it shakes out, but you can't argue with a team that's put up that record at this point in the season and not think that they are the best of the best in the NFC. NFC, it's not their problem, the Eagles' problem, that everybody else has kind of tripped up a little bit, but they're head and shoulders the best team right now in the NFC.
Here's the odds, in case you're curious. New England Patriots are plus 333. That's the best odds in the NFL to win Super Bowl 52. Second are the Eagles at plus 425. Third, the Steelers at plus 700. The fourth are the Rams, and are tied with the Saints for plus 1,000. So that's your top five.
So there you have it.
Patriots, Eagles, Steelers, Rams, Saints.
That ought to tell you something. All right, we got one segment to go before we turn over the big show to Fred, AJ, and the Blitz. And even if you're not drinking, it's listenable. So on your way home, make sure you tune into the Blitz. Otherwise, we're going to be here for you for the next 18 minutes or so, and we'll make sure that we lead in the right way. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
For sports is ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back for the final
segment. There you go.
Of the usual,
I'm here for you.
Suspect. The limping lefty just tweeted me, all respect, listen to the usuals every day, but come Saturday, that record will be perfect. No longer Mr. Blank. Actually, I'm just hoping for a good game. Go Blue, go Michigan. I've said it all along. It's going to be a good game, and I think Michigan's got a serious shot at beating them this weekend.
You aren't fooling me with your reverse jinx.
Said it all year, Barry. Either it happens against Michigan or it happens in the Big Ten championship game. They're not going to be in the Final Four. and they're not as good as their record says.
So you think they're going to lose to Michigan State in the Big 12 championship game? Or, I mean,
if it's Michigan State, I told you they got a shot.
Big 10, excuse me.
If it's Ohio State or Penn State, there's no way.
I don't know. I want to not believe in them, but you really don't have a choice at this point anymore, right? I
mean, with their record, it's kind of hard to at least not consider
with everybody else losing. Yeah,
it's just a mat. When you say the Cinderella season, if they, as you mentioned, if they end up playing Michigan State and dodge Penn State, Ohio State, and all the biggies that they could have faced this year in the Big Ten, I could see where the committee could still say, "Hey, you're undefeated, but you didn't play any of those teams." And I understand it would be hard to keep a Power Five undefeated out.
Yeah, that's what I don't believe.
But there's some resumes out there that state that there's legitimacy to them being above them.
I forgot Michigan State just lost to Ohio State this past weekend.
Got slaughtered.
Yeah. So it'll be Wisconsin and Ohio State in the Big Ten
championship. And I'm telling you,
they'll lose.
They're one-dimensional.
Yeah.
And they really have never been forced to strictly pass. And if you've got a defensive line like Ohio State and you load the box and you take away at least – in part, their running game, and force them to pass, you will dominate them. And that happened a couple of years ago when Ohio State blew them out in the Big Ten championship game, like 55-3.
I mean, I'm looking at their
– you're saying the two-loss Ohio State would get in?
No, I'm not saying
they'd get in. I'm just saying you wouldn't have anybody in the Big Ten.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, if Wisconsin loses to Ohio State in the Big Ten championship game, that would – no Big Ten team is getting it.
So correct. It settles that.
Yeah.
Yep.
But I'm looking at their front page on ESPN. Mm-hmm. 96th in the country in passing yards. 18th in rushing yards. So they're obviously a run-heavy
team. Oh, my
team.
God, are they? Jonathan Taylor will be up for the Heisman next year.
But they're putting up 36 a game and giving up 13. And
their
again,
defense is great.
I know they're not playing anyone of consequence, but, yeah, that's a really good defense. So,
not only is their defense good, they've all had to endure several big injuries throughout the year, too. So give their defense a load of credit. Jim Leonard, the former longtime NFL safety that was a Wisconsin alum, has taken over the defense. Defense plays great.
I think they'll be in the top six this evening once the rankings settle down.
This evening they will.
And I think they're worthy of that right now.
Yep, I agree. But I'm telling you, whether it's this week against Michigan or in the Big Ten title game, they're not going to be in that final four.
You sound like me as an Aggie fan. Just like, yep, they're going to blow this.
They're
going to lose
this. every week. And I just, as much as I want to believe in them, I just can't. I see the deficiencies.
I get it. I totally understand.
Hey, I'd love to be wrong, but I don't think I will be.
Okay.
So, we'll see how that goes.
Are you watching the Kent State Central Michigan game tonight?
No. I'm going to watch the Rockets and the Raptors, though.
You're not going to watch the Akron Zips and Ohio?
Are these basketball games?
No. That's the Tuesday schedule.
Is what's his name still coaching Akron? Is it the Bowden? Who's coaching Akron?
Oh, dude, don't get me lying. I don't know. What the hell
would
I keep it up with Akron
for? If this was Jeopardy for all the marbles, I wouldn't have gotten that one.
Yeah, it is Terry Bowden. I knew it was one of the Bowdens. I just didn't know who.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not keeping up with
that. I thought you follow Akron on a daily basis.
In fact, I'll wear my Zips sweatshirt tomorrow. No, I'm not keeping up with Akron. Who gives a damn?
What you're going to say, I wear my Zip slip.
No. I had a pair of Zips, though, as a kid.
I think I did, too.
Yeah, the light blue
with
the Z on the side.
Yeah, I think I did,
Made
too.
Me run faster.
I had the red Pumas, the red suede Pumas with the white stripes. I swore they made me
didn't
run
have
faster.
Those. Did you? Yeah. I didn't have those. I high school was red Elise, though. That was the thing. You wore the red Elise. All right, boys, we got to come up with a way back Wednesday before we end this show.
The other suggestion I liked was Heavy D, Chubb Rock, all weight related.
Who said that?
Someone suggested it on Twitter.
That's not a bad. I didn't hear that. Did we talk about this?
No, I didn't bring it up.
He
I
didn't
thought
bring
Barry
it up
got it too.
Just now.
I thought they sent it to all three of us. Maybe they didn't, but I thought that was a good suggestion. Let me check.
I'm down with that or songs that we hate. I don't care.
I like that one too. I think it should be one of those two, or we can keep one for this week and one for the next week. Doesn't matter to me.
All right. Well,
I think it's fitting enough that we do the weight one.
So just fat artists?
Artists or, big artists or artists that have...
Don't try to sugarcoat
weight,
it,
you know, Heavy D.
Our listeners don't want you to soften the blow. They're down. If we say fat artist, they're not going to be offended by that.
What if you're Fat Joe and you've lost a lot of weight? Is that, are you
still
longer?
Fat Joe, so he counts.
You're just, no, you're just Joe.
But you can use him.
Just, what's up?
Sorry,
Joe.
Fat
you gotta go,
Joe.
Yeah, you got to go back and change. All. I wonder if people are like, excuse me, Mr. Fat. That would be pretty good.
That'd be hilarious.
Excuse me, Mr. Fat. May I have an autograph? And he just signs it F. Joe. That'd be pretty sweet. Yeah, that's fine. Fat artists. That works for me.
All right. Or fat in the name. Or, you know, heavy, like weight-related
in
the name.
What artist is going to be fat that's not fat? Well, I guess Fat Tony. Never mind. I just answered my own question. Okay.
There you go.
Yeah, Fat Tony. I think he's a Houston rapper, and he's not fat. But I don't know.
All right. So that's way back Wednesday for this week. And then next week we can still, I mean, it's timeless. We could do songs that we hated at any time.
Yes.
Right?
We can do that next week.
All right.
So fat artists. That's it, right?
Yep.
You need one more explanation of it, or we got it?
Because I don't want to be like fat artist or this or that. I just want it to be
just artists that are
fat artists.
Yeah,
that's it,
and not with the name. You can't do Fat Tony. It's fat artists.
You can do Heavy D.
But Heavy D was fat.
Chub Rock.
Fat.
Okay.
Roseanne, didn't she sing the national anthem?
Fat Boys.
Fat Boys.
Yeah.
I think Joe's already made his list. Who else was fat? I'm trying to think.
Big Mo was fat.
I have one.
Big Punisher was fat.
Yeah, that's true. They're all rappers. You ever notice that rappers are fat?
Not all of them.
Okay, what's a fat rock group? Yeah.
Loverboy Now.
You noticed that?
Yeah. Loverboy Now.
Oh, yeah. But I'm saying when they were – see, that's the thing. You can't be like, well, Axl Rose is 900 pounds now. Yeah, but when he was making the music, he wasn't fat. So it's got to be fat when the song came out. Not fat now.
Good question for the listeners.
No,
what Blues rock Traveler. Band,
when they were in their head, no, to see if anybody could come up with the answer to that riddle.
The lead what singer, rock Blues band, Traveler.
Look, he's in there with the mic off. Okay, Siri.
Yeah, quickly. What,
name
quickly.
A fat I rock group, fat Siri. Rock hurry. I got to look good. Heyday. I'm on a show, Siri. Hurry. I don't have time for this.
He was massive, though.
Who, Blues Traveler?
The lead singer of Blues Traveler?
I'm trying to think. What's the chick's name that won the first American Idol?
Oh, she's big now.
Kelly Clarkson. Kelly Clarkson. Yeah. So you can't go Kelly Clarkson because she's fat now, but she wasn't fat in her pre-2000.
She's fat now?
Oh, yeah.
God, she was pretty on
Have
American
you seen
Idol.
Her?
No.
She had a moment
she's that
like
big?
This, she wasn't, she needs but to she be
in our,
now.
She needs to be in our challenge.
In the fat league?
Yeah, she needs to be in the fantasy fat ball challenge.
She just was on the Today Show talking about how she doesn't care anymore when she gets
she's
like
so
all these
big,
mean.
She was on the Today Show and the Tomorrow Show.
She gets all these mean tweets and everything about her weight.
God,
now she doesn't
she's
count.
Big. Yeah, and she don't care either. She does not care.
Not anymore.
Somebody made fun of her being fat and she clapped
so I said,
back.
She was on the Today Show and they were talking about all the evil tweets and everything she gets. She goes, sometimes she gets a little smart-ass in response, but she doesn't care.
Ooh. Ron Mexico said Meatloaf was fat. Yeah,
good
there
call.
You go. That's a
that's
good
one. Yeah, leave it to the listeners.
Fat Luther. Luther Vandross
I thought
was always
Luther
kind
Vandross,
of fat,
but
right?
He lost weight, like a ton of weight before he died.
Well, there's a reason.
No, he was he sick?
Wasn't
I don't
he?
Think he was.
Oh, I thought he was sick.
No. All right. Yeah, anyway, before we get out of here, I want to tell you guys about my good friends at Window World. I'm a huge fan of Window World, have been, and been telling you about them for months now because they are a quality product at a great price, and they're going to save you money on your energy bills. I'm telling you, Window World Houston is the place to go. They provide premium quality replacement windows at a great price, and their energy-saving windows are made right here in the U.S. of A. They also carry the Good Housekeeping Seal of Approval, and it's not going to cost you anything to investigate and see what they can do for you. Window World is the number one window company in the country because they offer a lifetime warranty, a higher quality product, a low price that starts at just $189 a window plus $45 for solar zone low E, which meets Texas energy regulations. And as I mentioned, you can call them. They'll come out and give you a free estimate, and there is no absolutely hassles or high pressure. You're not on the hook for anything. You can walk away. But if you want them to do the work after they do the free written estimate, you call them back. You let them know you want to do the job. They'll set up a time, and they'll make sure you're happy. 713-439-1172 or windowworldhouston.com. That's 713-439-1172 or windowworldhouston.com. Window World, simply the best for less. Give them a call.
Yeah, boy.
Who's this?
Hey, this is Trey Wingo. You're listening to ESPN 97.5 Houston. Hello.